Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for March 1st, 2015. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Well, the local news is in the Kubose family here in Coarse Gold. One of our dogs, we have two dogs. One is Easy, named Easy, Yellow Lab, and the other is Easy, about seven. The other is a three-year-old golden retriever named Raku. Adrian named him Raku because Raku means easy in Japanese. Like, Rakushite kudasai means just relax. You know, you could take it easy. Raku. Anyway, Raku ate something and got sick. He was throwing up and not eating or anything and for about 3 days. So we took him to the vet. They gave him some barium and x-ray and kept him overnight. And they said, there's some kind of obstruction in there. So on the fourth day, we took him to, he recommended PET ER, a surgeon there. So we took him into Fresno, half an hour drive from our place, and he stayed there a couple of nights. And the obstruction, he had to have surgery. It was some kind of plastic. And it looks like sort of like saran wrap that a sandwich comes in. And my theory is that maybe some of the workers, we're not going to let them go near the construction site anymore because I think they like to go over there. Maybe the workers leave some of their lunch there. So it might be, don't know for sure, but it might be that somebody had a sandwich that like a hoagie or a submarine sandwich that's wrapped up in saran wrap, and after the person ate that sandwich, he crumbled up that plastic into a ball, and somehow it didn't get thrown away. And maybe Raku found it and swallowed it, and then once it was in his stomach, kind of unraveled a little bit. And because the surgeon said that half of it was about a foot and a half long obstruction. Half of it was in his stomach and half of it was down in the small intestine. And of course, Raku was eating a lot of grass when he was sick. And so a lot of grass was caught too. And foot and a half long obstruction. I guess the small intestine is usually coiled around. But because of this obstruction, it became long and foot and a half just straight instead of being coiled. And so he's been home for a couple of days now, antibiotic, one for pain, one for this and that. And we took him to our family vet yesterday. He wanted to follow up, and he'll get his stitches removed in about 10 days. He has to wear one of those cones so that he cannot have access to the stitches. He doesn't like that cone, of course. And it's hard for him to drink or eat. So Adrian has to do that by hand. Plus he's on special bland food, rice and, you know, again or something and mixed up, and gradually start to incorporate his regular food into it. And when we had left the vet yesterday, he had not gone BM yet. So, well, I guess from the start of his trouble, it's been about 5-6 days, and he has never gone BM yet. So we're thinking, well, so the vet prescribed kind of a laxative and fiber and stuff and enema in case we needed it. But as it turned out, when we got back from the vet yesterday, of course, we were always walking. Adrian was walking him, Rocco, around, because that walking stimulates the, I guess, the peristaltic movement of the intestine and colon and so forth. And he did go BM finally. Whoopee. And that is the moral of this, of my story, of this local news. The importance of not taking for granted your intestinal tract and digestion and excretion process, because, and this, of course, is presented by Toilet Gus Shaw, my claim to fame. When you're sitting on the pot and you go in your daily constitution, your daily movement in the morning usually, boy, you better not take that for granted, because if you have any gastrointestinal problem, animal, pets or humans, that track better be open. And you know that if you ever have had experience visiting someone in the hospital or yourself, they want to make sure you pass gas, that, you know, that the excretion process is working. Because if it's not, you're in bad trouble. I remember when my mother was constipated when she was ill, and we took care of her in our home for the last few months when she was in hospice. But there was a stretch there when she hadn't gone for several days, maybe 3-4 days, didn't have a bowel movement, and finally she did, and we were all so happy, and in Japanese, a kind of a celebratory exclamation is "Banzai," you know. And so we call it the Banzai BM. And you throw up your hands and say, "Banzai." And that's the way we felt when Raku did his Banzai BM. And I think Toilet Gus Shaw is a good compliment to the mealtime grace that we say. We're thankful for the food. And we should be thankful that our inner plumbing's working, you know, good, because that waste products from digestion is toxic if it remains in your system and you don't get rid of it. So we should be grateful at mealtime, grateful at toilet time, and you got to have healthy BM, and that's why I think BM stands for Buddha movement. Well, today I'm going to, with that as my segue, we're going to have as our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse, Douglas Sanyo, part of our LM6 group, the most recent group to graduate and be inducted as a lay minister. And he wants to talk about faith today.
Good morning, and thank you. While I was conducting rounds at the local hospital where I serve as a volunteer chaplain, I was recently asked by one of our patients exactly what's the aspect of faith in Buddhism. And I answered, of course, all spiritual paths have faith within them, or we wouldn't be inspired to contemplate on higher things. I further explained that faith, according to Buddhism, really rests in confidence, and that by living in accordance with the Four Noble Truths and having reliance and refuge in the Triple Gem, that through finding wisdom in the Dharma, which is seen everywhere, one clearly finds the way that the universe works and how it impacts on all our lives. To know that we really are unsatisfied in life and why life seems so difficult at times is to really possess the confidence to make every effort in making every day a good day. It's our own false perceptions that make us think, act, and speak, and we live unskillfully because of our own delusions and because of our own ignorance as to how things really are. And too often it makes us very unhappy. And sometimes our life seems unfulfilled. When we focus on correcting our insight and improving our efforts of being a complete human being to daily bring out our inner perfection, which is always there, This is done through confidence, which in reality is really faith. Faith that we have the tools and that we have the knowledge that will help us find our true humanity and to realize their effects in our everyday life, that all of our unhappiness and suffering can be abated. Through implementing the Buddhist teachings in our lives, our inner perfection abounds in our lives. To be able to see these subtle effects breeds confidence that naturally confirms confidence in one's spiritual path, and that is faith. Not only in having faith in the Dharma, but faith in oneself. This faith within oneself, through the wisdom provided within all dharmas, is the most important. This is the amalgamation of wisdom and confidence, a faith that leads to one's own true happiness. By using good tools and examining the many life lessons we have experienced, our true self is allowed to come forth, our own perfection, a force that can change not only our life, but the lives of those around us, and in a greater aspect, the world around us. To have confidence in one's, in our spiritual path is not only the basis of faith, but the realization of our own perfection. Thank you very much, and everybody have an absolutely brilliant day.
Thank you very much. You know, faith is a, could be a very problematic word for Buddhists. Faith has carries a lot of connotation, Christian, Judeo-Christian tradition, where faith means faith in God, or it means don't question anything. You sort of like blind faith, blind belief in the omnipotence and all-knowing, all-powerful God, or having faith in the Bible. You know, you don't have to blind, I guess is the usual word. You know, don't question it, and so forth. Whereas for so some people, they really don't like the word faith in terms of the Buddhist context. Yet faith is somehow stronger word, deeper word than trust or confidence. Maybe it's kind of like an attitude that one develops. This is in a Buddhistic sense. You know, I know that some Buddhist teachers, they sort of qualify the current buzzword of mindfulness and being in the present moment and all these things. They said, you know, that's important, but equally important is Buddhist faith in the Dharma or in one's spiritual path, which is more like an attitude. Somehow you trust the whole Buddhist tradition. You know, it's part of you. And that's something deeper and more, you know, than dealing with the present moment, okay, in terms of awareness or focus or attention. Okay. This kind of faith or trust or confidence is more like a personality trait, I guess, in oneself. And although it does have the connotation of selflessness in a way, you know, You're not. You don't have to be aware of it. It's you. It's in you. Okay? I sometimes use the analogy of gravity. You trust gravity. You have faith in gravity. You have confidence that when you take a step, you know, things won't fall over. That the laws of gravity. You're taking it for granted in a way, in a good sense. Okay? Because you can't be thinking about, can I trust this stableness of this step and this step? No, you know, you just walk around and you know you're not going to be flying around. You put something down on the table, it's going to stay there. When you let go of it, there's gravity. That kind of trust and confidence, okay? And in a spiritual context, it's that indeed that the Dharma's there and you have the tools and knowledge to travel successfully on your own, on your spiritual path. Sometimes it's called the entrusting. Maybe that's a better word than trust. Entrusting. Entrusting. I don't know what that word, that prefix EN is about, but it's the entrusting mind. And that kind of a thing also reminds me of the fact that tragedy occurs, you know, when so-called evil occurs in the world and something really bad happens to an individual. This is a big problem for human beings and for religions. When bad things happen to good people, okay, it's the title of a book. And the problem of evil is a tremendous issue when the teaching is that, or the benevolent God care of you. And then you have some natural disasters. You have babies that die. You have things that, how can this be reconciled with the all-loving God? For Buddhism, I read a nice sentiment. You see, when tragedy happens, from the Judeo-Christian standpoint, wow, you know, this is something beyond the self. Okay. When a tragedy occurred, there's nothing that you could do about it, okay, or to have prevented it. Accident happens, or you know. Tragedy. So, and if you're worried about a loved one, if it happened to a loved one, well, what are you going to do? If you're Christian, then say you pray. That's the response to tragedy, is you pray. Oh, God, please, don't let my child die. Something like this. So what's the Buddhist do? Well, the quote that I heard was, the sentiment was, the Buddhist response to tragedy is to cultivate wisdom. And indeed, when you have the story of Kisa Gotami, who lost her baby, this was in the Buddha's time, and apparently, you know, that she had been trying to have a baby for a long time, finally had a baby and then lost it. Died, and she was so distraught. She was carrying her dead baby around, and she was going around, wandering around the village, asking for help. Can you somebody, you know, bring my baby back to life? Or, you know, and of course, this was 2,500 years ago. So maybe, you know, the people's attitude was not so scientific in medicine and things like this. She was in such a pitiful state that someone said, you know, the Buddha traveled around India, northeast section, and was always his mission was pilgrimaging around, and he happened to be passing by his village, and so one of the villagers told Kisa Gotami, teacher happens to be traveling through, passing by, why don't you go see the Buddha? Maybe the Buddha can help you. So she did. And the Buddha was known for tremendous insight in how to handle human suffering and tailoring it to the person who's in front of him. and realized immediately what her situation was. And he didn't talk about anything. What he said was, and she got all excited. And he says, but in order to do this, I want you to bring me some mustard seeds. And it sounds like a strange request, but Kisa Gotami didn't care about anything. She says, I'll get some seeds, because these mustard seeds were common in India. You know, they grew everywhere. Every household had them. So Buddha said, you must go to a house and get some, ask for some mustard seeds and bring them to me, and then I'll help you. She says, okay, and she's going to dash off. And he said, oh, one thing. These seeds must come from a house that has never experienced death in the family. She goes, okay. She still didn't question anything. She went to the first house and said, do you have any mustard seeds I could have? And she said, oh, sure, we got lots. Oh, has anybody died in here in your family? I said, oh, yeah, Grandma, you know, passed away last year. Oh, I can't take your seeds. She went to the next house. Same kind of story over and over, every house she went. She got tired, and finally she got the message. The universality of human mortality. She was not alone, physical losing loved ones. Everybody that's, you know, this law of impermanence, change, and she realized she received a great teaching from the Buddha. So she went back to him, and then he helped her to, she said, you know, well, I have to bury my baby, and she was able to bury her baby and start to deal with the right understanding of life, the reality of life. She became a disciple of the Buddha and so forth. So when we say the Buddha's response to tragedy is to cultivate wisdom or right understanding, having the right trust and confidence in the Dharma, that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. You know, but it is the wisdom that comes from, that goes beyond just knowledge and beliefs and so forth. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is personal experience. It's backed by life, experience in life. Huh? That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful, wonderful day. Thank you.